If you've got the Bible open in front of you, that'd be really helpful. What was the page number? 1045. Thank you, Andrew. 1045. Let's pray as we come to think about that. Father, we thank you for Thomas's baptism this morning. We thank you for his step forward in faith. And we thank you for your word, that it teaches us so much. Help us this morning to hear what you want to say to us, and help me to speak your words faithfully and truthfully. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, I want to start off by asking a very big question. And it's this: what is life all about? What is life all about? It's a big question. It's an important question. I wonder if it's a question you ever really think about. If, say, Thomas comes to you and says, "What do you think life is all about?" I wonder how you would answer him. And it's important to think about these big questions because they really help us to really decide how we should live our lives and on what basis we should live them. And you might find, well, it's a difficult question to answer. I tried artificial intelligence, because everyone does these days, don't you? And I put it in there, and it came back with very much, "Well, you decide yourself." Which is not that helpful, but this does mean it's something that's worth thinking about. So to make it a bit simpler, I'm going to give you a multiple choice. Okay, so three possibilities. Firstly, is life all about wealth? Is it all about getting as many things as you can, storing up lots of riches, having a healthy bank account, a good retirement, being able to spend what you like on when you like? Is it all about relationships, about having good family relationships, good friendships, good relationships in marriage or whatever? Or is it all about God? Is it about seeking God, trusting in him, looking to him for hope, for eternal life, and focusing on him for the gift of eternity? Of those three, I wonder, what would you say is the least, not the most, what's the least important in terms of what life is all about? Now, I'm a vicar, so you'd probably tell me it's God, but people always give you the answer you want to hear, don't they? But actually, I wonder if people are being honest, whether a lot of people in our world, and maybe some of you here, the answer is wealth. If you look at our politics and our discussions and our papers, all the discussion and debate is around money, isn't it? How much should we tax people or not tax people? How much should we spend on different services? How can we get a better pay rise? And we look at the adverts on TV, they're all about trying to persuade us that if we just spend our money on this or that, we will be happier and live more fulfilled and wonderful lives. You can feel worth it because you buy a particular perfume or whatever it is. But is that what life's really all about? Jesus, in our reading, says this in verse 14. Watch out, or 15, sorry. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. If you ask Jesus what is the least important of these three things in terms of life, he gives a very clear answer. Wealth is the least important. Wealth is not what life is about. Jesus' teaching here comes in the context of a sermon. If you read in the Bibles, it's chapter 12. It's basically a very long sermon by Jesus. And if you look at verse 1, it tells us that there were actually thousands of people listening in and eager to hear what Jesus had to teach them. And the sermon in chapter 12 has got a general theme that runs throughout. It's lots of different aspects of it. But the main theme is this. Jesus is saying to people, you need to live your life in the light of God and eternity. You need to live your life remembering that it is God that has the ultimate say over your eternal fate. It is God that can give you the gift of eternal life. And you need to live now in the light of that, in the truth of that. And he goes through various examples of what that means in terms of life. And as he's preaching this sermon, about halfway through at this point, some guy gets up and interrupts him. He's not really a heckle, because he's not really to do what he's talking about. But he sort of says to Jesus, my brother, He's been a bit of a pain. There's an inheritance, and he won't share it with me. And so he says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." And Jesus must have gone, "Oh, here I am telling you to live in the light of God and eternity, and all you're worried about is getting more money." And he says to the man, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? My role is not to help you sort out your finances. My role is not to work between you and your brother to resolve things." Actually, later on in the sermon, he says, you know, if you've got a problem with someone, resolve it before you get to a judge or someone else deciding it. Work that out between yourselves. My job is to help you get the right priorities in life. And man, you've got the wrong priorities. It's basically what he goes on to say. He goes on to say, doesn't he, that life does not... Well, he goes on to use this to turn it into an interruption, but you turn it into a teaching point. And so he turns not just to the man, but to the whole crowd. And he says to them that line, "Watch out." Great that Anna sort of shouted that out. You know, "Watch out, this matters. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And to help drum the point home, to help drive the point home, he tells this story. And it's a story of a warning. And he's basically saying, here's a man, here's an example of someone who lives for wealth. Here's an example of someone that you shouldn't be like. And we see that because later on in the end, God says to the man, "You fool. You fool." So what's going on with this man? Well, the first thing is that clearly this man is someone who cares about wealth. First of all, he has this issue, doesn't he? He's a farmer and he suddenly has a particularly good crop. He's an abundant crop one year. And he thinks, great, I got more and more crops, more money, more wealth. What shall I do? How can I hold on to my wealth? And he says, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. But I can store all the crops and then I'll hold on to my wealth for a long time. So he cares about wealth. He wants to hold on to his wealth. But secondly, he trusts in his wealth. He trusts that wealth is what will give him happiness and joy and security in his life ahead. And he says this in verse 19, "And I say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." Is that the sort of attitude that many people have today? Get as much wealth as you can for yourself, and then you can live comfortably. You can live securely into retirement. Have a nice house, nice car, go on great holidays, big TV. Whatever. Is that what a lot of people are about in today's world? That's the attitude of this man, but as Jesus says, this man is a warning to us. Do not be like him. Do not make wealth what your life is all about. And maybe many people would agree with that, with Jesus, without being a Christian or believing in God. And they might say, well, yeah, I don't agree with that. I think life's not all about wealth. Actually, life's all about relationships. And there's some truth in that, isn't there? This man clearly doesn't care about relationships. Several years ago, we as a family went on holiday to Vietnam to visit my sister who was living out there. And as part of the holiday, we went to an island called Phu Quoc, which is was being developed at the time by Vietnam to be a sort of great tourist destination. And it's got amazing beaches. We did some snorkeling there, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. The hotels are amazing, and food was cheap and everything else. It was a fantastic holiday. But it struck me while I was on the holiday that what made it such a great holiday wasn't so much the venue or the place, but actually it's the people you're with and the relationships you have. If I'd been there and everyone was at each other's throats, arguing and upset with each other and annoyed with each other, but no matter how nice the beach was, no matter how good the food was, it would have been a horrible holiday. What matters is not wealth, but relationships and having good relationships. And actually, if you look at the man in the story, Jesus tells his story in a very clever way. Because notice the man, when he gets all his extra wealth, all his abundance of crops, he doesn't think about how he can share it with others. It's all about what he can give for himself. It's a very selfish, self-centered attitude. And actually, the man in the story does an awful lot of talking. Do you notice that? But who's he talking to? He's just talking to himself. You know, he even says, I say to myself, or I say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry, and be happy in life. This guy seems very lonely. And isn't there a truth that if we run after wealth as a big priority in life and don't care about relationships, that we can end up in our selfishness destroying the relationships we have and ending up very lonely? Isn't this a warning to the man that's come to Jesus who's angry with his brother because he won't share the inheritance? He's more eager to get the money than to be reconciled to his brother. And you can probably think of examples, there's so many around even today, where arguments over inheritance cause family breakdown and people being estranged from each other. We live in a world today which, if you compare throughout most of history, I know we complain about cost of living crisis and everything else, but if you compare with most of history, most of us are so much wealthier than people have ever been. And if you compare with many parts of the world today, in this country, we're so much wealthier than people have ever been. And yet, we're increasingly lonely as a society. We're increasingly by ourselves, with no one to talk to but ourselves. Shouldn't we care more about relationships than wealth? But what about the most fundamental relationship? What about the relationship with God? This guy clearly does not care about God. God doesn't even come into his thinking or his reckoning. And at the end, God says to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" The man hadn't taken account of God, he hadn't taken account of death. Death can come at any time. And when you die, you can't take what you have with you. There's a story of a funeral. A very wealthy woman had died, and the vicar was taking his funeral. And after the funeral, someone came up to him, really interested in the woman, and said, "And so how much did she leave?" Thinking, how much money did she leave behind? And the vicar just said, "Everything. Everything. You can't take your wealth with you." And God says to the man, "You're going to die, and then who's going to get all your wealth? When were you?" Money can give us good things for this life. Can get you that great house, that new car, wonderful holidays. But what good will it do for your soul? What good will it do for any hope of eternal life? What good will it do for your relationship with God? Of course, you might say, "Well, I don't believe in life after death. I don't believe in God." But Jesus, who is preaching, actually proves to us, doesn't just teach about life after death. He doesn't just teach about there is a life to come. Be ready for it. He proves that there's life after death. As we said in the creed earlier on, what we believe as Christians is that Jesus died, and on the third day, he rose again. He came alive not just to live for a few more years and die, but to live forevermore. He was resurrected, and he proved it. He appeared to his disciples, those closest to him, hundreds of them. And they went and risked their lives to share the good news so that people all around the world and people down the ages could hear the good news that Jesus has risen from the dead, that he has conquered death, that there is hope of eternal life through him. If we trust in him, if we seek him, if we follow him. Paul says in Corinthians, if there is no resurrection, then let us just eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there is no resurrection, then maybe this man in the story is right. But if there is eternal life, as Jesus proves there is, then surely we should live our lives in the light of that. Surely we should live not for wealth, but for God. And if we're living for God, God will want us to take care of our relationships. The man does not care about God. And right at the end of the story, Jesus sums it up by saying, this is how it will be with whoever stores up for things themselves, but is not rich towards God. That phrase, store up, in the Greek, the word for store up is the same word as for treasure. And later on in the sermon, Jesus tells us what it means to be rich towards God. He says this, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." In other words, if you do trust in Jesus, if you do follow him, and it doesn't matter if you haven't followed so far in your life, you can always turn around and change. Whenever you come to Jesus, he'll accept you. But whenever you do that, you can be confident that you'll be part of the kingdom of God. And you'll have that gift of eternal life. So what does it mean to be rich to God's God? It means, he says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, Jesus is saying to people, don't build up your treasure in earth. Don't store up your wealth now for the rest of your life. Store up treasure in heaven. Do that by living for God, trusting in what he wants to give to you, and actually using your wealth for his purposes and his good. Now, Jesus, if you go through the gospel, not everyone does sell all their possessions. But people are told to be generous with their wealth, to do good with it for God's purposes. And if life is all about wealth, you won't do that. But if life is all about God and about our relationships, then we want to use our wealth for God's good. So what about you? What is life all about? What would you tell Thomas or all the other children? What do you tell yourself? How do you live your life? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this message. Well, it is a challenging message, particularly for us today, that can be so focused on wealth and money. Help us, though, to see the importance of what life is really all about and to look to you as the one that can give us life forevermore. In your name we pray. Amen.